because we invite him in and we choose to follow him. For the next few weeks and the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the road to the cross, and part of what it costs Jesus is what we'll be looking at. But we spent the first week talking about how much prophecy there is in the Old Testament about Jesus coming. Last week, we kind of went over the Passover celebration that Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the night before he was betrayed, but also the significance of the blood that was shed back for the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, and then fast forward to us, the blood that was put on, that Jesus shed for us for this salvation of our souls and for the forgiveness of sins. Today I want to look at a time that night when they were getting ready to celebrate the Passover. They haven't gotten into dinner yet, but they were getting into the house, into the upper room, and it was more than likely a rented place or a loaned out place, if you will, so that they could have their celebration. And evidently what somebody forgot to get was somebody wash everybody's feet. And in this passage of Scripture, we're going to see how Jesus lowered himself, humbled himself to wash the disciples' feet and to do something that normally people of lower class would do, or people that weren't as respected or affluent. There's going to be times in all of our lives where to be followers of Christ, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we're going to have to humble ourselves, we're going to have to lower ourselves to do that. And we do it because we love God and we love others and because Jesus set the example. So stand with me this morning. Let's read John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I'll put His principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So John chapter 13, John says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you so much for the example that you set. Doing something that wasn't your job, doing something that he probably really didn't want to do. Yet it was something that needed to be done. And you went ahead and did it. You humbled yourself. Put yourself in the place of a servant. And gave us an example how we should live our lives. And how we should help others out that need help. Or just help us to follow your example. And to understand what it means to really be there for people when they need them. I ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So as I said, you know, before the dinner, normally when you would walk into the house and possibly when you would get to your seat before you would eat, they would wash your feet. You had most likely traveled who knows how far. Some people wore sandals. Some people possibly wore shoes. But just walking on dirty, dusty roads, understanding the lack of sanitary sewer system in that day and age, where when you walk through town, the streets were more than likely not real clean. And so at some point, it says, at some point during the meal, it's like Jesus has gone, okay, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to wash their feet. You know, nobody else is volunteering to do this. So, and no one's washing their own feet. So I don't want to sit here for the rest of the meal and have to smell this. So I'm going to do this. And so he gets up, takes off his outer garment, wraps a cloak around his waist, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And he did something, as I said, he did something that normally the lowest paid staff member would do at the house, or the lowest servant would do. This is kind of where you started being the servant. You got the easier jobs or the more glamorous jobs in the household. Maybe the older you got, the more seniority you had. But at this point, no one's there to do that. It's Jesus and his 12 disciples. And a meal has been prepared for them, but no one thought about making sure there was somebody to wash their feet. And so Jesus gets up from the table, and he does it. He gets to Peter, and it's kind of interesting that John would point out Peter in a good way. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think it's interesting. And as we get into the story of what happened on the night that Jesus was betrayed, a little later next week or so, we know that Peter denies Jesus three times. John doesn't talk about that in his account. Matthew doesn't talk about that in his account. And Luke doesn't even talk about it in his. Mark is the only one that talks about it. And Peter dictated Mark to John Mark because Peter didn't know how to read or write. And so Peter is the only one that kind of told on himself or told the story of his denial. John didn't do it. But John does point this out because it's a very unique part of the conversation. Jesus is about ready to wash Peter's feet. And Peter's like, "You going to wash my feet?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm going to wash your feet." He's like, "You're not washing my feet." And Jesus is like, "You got to let me do this. If I don't do this for you, then you can't be part of the group." And he's like, "Okay, then wash my hands and my head as well." And Jesus goes, "You don't need to be all cleaned up. You just need to get the parts of you that are dirty clean." And that's us at times. We're children of God. We make mistakes. And every once in a while, we need to ask God to forgive us for something. We need to come to him, and we need to confess our sins. John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's not one time. That's as it's needed. So it's as we keep confessing, he keeps forgiving. And so when we find that there's something we've done that's wrong, just like Peter, your feet are dirty, you wash your feet. You don't have to get resaved every time you mess up. Now, if you walk away from God long enough and you say, I'm done, and then you decide to come back, maybe a trip to the altar or asking God to come back in there is what you need to do. But for the most part, when we're trying to follow Jesus, we just need that blood to cleanse us from the sin that we've committed that time. All the rest has been taken care of. And that's kind of the lesson, I think, that Jesus was trying to teach to Peter. His only confess, after you've initially started following Jesus, then just take care of what's dirty. Don't worry about the rest. Jesus set the example, though, of humbling himself to do something. How many of you like to do something at work that somebody else is supposed to do? Yeah, I mean, you enjoy, you know, if you've got a work area and somebody's supposed to clean that work area and they haven't done it, you're just more than happy to go get the broom and sweep it up and clean up there so you can do your job. You know, most of us are not that way. But sometimes it's necessary. And the attitude in which you do it can make a whole world of difference in your company or in your workplace. If you, you know, get nasty with the guy that's supposed to do it and go, hey, John, I'm doing your job over here, you know, but that's okay, I got it, don't worry about it. You're pointing him out, everybody's going to look at him, he's embarrassed or he's going to get mad, and that's not the way to do it. Jesus did somebody else's job, and I think he did it in a way that the disciples felt like, wow, he's never had my feet washed like this before. Because I don't think he washed them just because he had to. I think he washed them because he wanted to, and because he took it as something that was going to be something they would remember for the rest of their lives. I'm not saying we have to do all of our jobs like that, but sometimes I think the Bible says that whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Whether it's your job or whether it's something you're doing to help somebody else out. I think right now there's two ladies in our congregation that are doing something out of love, something they don't have to do, they're not lowering themselves, they're just doing something to help bring healing and to bring something special to a family. Joyce's niece lost her little girl, and Debbie and Joyce have been here quite a few days, and they're making quilts for each member of that family made out of the shirts and stuff of that little girl to help them remember it. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff you do because you want to try to help people out. And it's provided a great sermon illustration of, are there things that Debbie and Joyce could be doing, other things than this? Yeah, because this is pretty time-consuming. But you do it because you love somebody and you care and you want to show them and you want to help them through a tough time. Jesus knew that doing this would help these guys get through what they were going to be going through for the next few months, years, whatever it took. They're always going to remember the night that Jesus washed their feet. He knew that his time was short. He knew that he was about to leave. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. The night that he was in, and we didn't talk about this night, but, you know, I wonder sometimes if Jesus realized that his time was short, that he was going to be leaving them the next day. And I wonder if he thought, man, I hope they got it. I hope I've taught them enough. I mean, he's God, but he's also a man. And he's dealing with men who some are uneducated, like Peter. Others who have taken on different kinds of jobs and been despised in the past. And he's thinking, I hope I've done enough. And he wants to give them one last thing to remember. He knew that his disciples needed that one more lesson before he was betrayed. They would get a few other lessons afterwards that they would pick up on their own and they would see what was going on. But he knew that his time was short, that his disciples needed a lesson, and yet he also knew that Judas was going to betray him. The Bible says that Jesus didn't wash Judas's feet, right? Wrong. Jesus washed all their feet. Jesus washed the feet of the man who would betray him that very night. Now, I don't know about you, but if I know somebody's going to do something mean to me, unethical to me, or something like that, if I had the chance to do something nice for them the day before, I know they're going to do it for me. This is just me. But I'm probably not doing it. You know, because I know what they're going to do. But yet, that's not the example that Jesus set. Jesus said, I know. When he said, not everyone in this room is clean. He was talking about Judas. He says, I know that Judas is going to betray me. And yet, he went ahead and washed his feet. And I can only imagine what Judas was feeling as Jesus was washing his feet. The feeling of guilt, the feeling of shame, probably was pretty strong. But he still had to go through with what he was supposed to do. Knowing this, number two in your bulletin, knowing this, Jesus chose to wash their feet. He knew his time was short. He knew they needed one more lesson. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. And yet he chose to wash their feet. He humbled himself. He did something that he didn't have to do. He could have told John. It wouldn't have been unusual for, if you're in a room full of people that need their feet washed, it really wouldn't have been unusual for Jesus to have told the youngest one, hey, you're the youngest, it falls on you, you wash everybody's feet. And I would imagine John would have went ahead and done it because, again, most people think that John was between the age of 16 and 18 when he started following Jesus. He figured Peter was about 30. So the age difference between the disciples was fairly noticeable. And so it wouldn't have been unusual for Jesus to ask somebody else to do it. But in this instance, Jesus humbles himself and does it. And he set us an incredible example of helping somebody when he didn't have to. When somebody else could have done it. Maybe they didn't. We know at least one of them didn't deserve it. Especially the kind of foot washing that Jesus was providing, a foot washing of not just, hey, let's get the junk off your feet, but I'm going to really get your feet clean. I'm going to make sure that you never forget this because I'm doing this for you because I love you. And because Jesus sets that kind of example in this passage, because he did this for them, we need to. Not necessarily wash each other's feet. There's a lot of times where I've gone to services or something and they'll be doing a foot washing. And I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that in the day and age we live, I'm not sure that we need to be washing each other's feet, okay? If somebody comes to me and says, hey, Pastor, I want to wash your feet, I'm going to go, how come? What's the problem? You know, what's going on? You know, if I come to you and say, hey, I want to wash your feet, you're going to go, I don't think so. You know, I mean, it's not the custom of the day. It's not what we need. But we do need to serve one another. There are times in our lives where somebody's going to need something that they either can't afford or they can't do themselves. We need to be there. And willing to lend a helping hand. We have ministries for that in the church. We participate in like the care portal that Kelly and Luther are in charge of, that they do a great job and they're helping people that can't afford it, can't do things for themselves a lot of times. And it's great to have those kind of ministries that do that. Yet there's also times when we need to help each other out individually. Somebody has a talent that they can use to help somebody else get something done that they don't have the money to do. You know, if you know how to work on a car, or you know how to work on a lawnmower, or maybe you know how to build something. We went over to, I think it was Christine's house one time, and several people got together and built a ramp so that she could get her scooter up to her front door. That's the stuff you do because God gives you the talents and the abilities. But when we're doing those things, we also need to keep our attitudes in check. It's real easy to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. It shouldn't be, well, I shouldn't have to be doing this. This person should have been doing this. They should have been keeping track of this. And I wouldn't have to be here today doing that. It's something that's really important is our attitude and that we have when we're helping others out. So we need to be like Jesus. We need to be like Him. I don't think there was one part of when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet where He went, boy, I wish that girl would have shown up, or I wish that little boy would have shown up, or I wish one of these other guys would have shown up and or volunteered to do this. I think Jesus saw the opportunity to quote, we talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus to each other and to the world. This is a time when Jesus got up on His feet, prepared Himself, and used His hands and washed the feet of His disciples. He literally was the hands and feet of Jesus. There are times when we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we have to do it with the right attitude and do it the way that Jesus would do it. And so He sets a great example of why we should help each other out. And He does it at a time when it's like He's getting ready to be beaten up, flogged, crucified the next day. There's probably other things, if you will, that if you knew that you were going to have a really bad or a really busy day, the last thing you want to do is have to go, quote, wash somebody's feet. But you have to know why you're doing it, who you're doing it for. And that'll make all the difference in the world. So, we need to be like Jesus. And your application, just to keep you on the straight and narrow and everything, is this. When's the last time you lowered yourself to help somebody out without complaining? Okay? A lot of times we'll lower ourselves. We'll do what we shouldn't have to do, or we'll help somebody. But the whole time we're doing it, we've got the wrong kind of attitude. So it's not enough just to serve people and get the job done. You need to do it with a good attitude. Let's follow Jesus' example as He followed His Father's, and He followed His Father's instructions to go to the cross for us. Let's stand this morning. Father, I pray that today, as we've talked about